call the regular session to order. In the spirit of reconciliation and cooperation, we wish to acknowledge that the land on which we gather is the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe and the Mississauga people. Its boundaries fall within the Robinson-Huron Treaty of 1850 and the Williams Treaty of 1923. We are grateful to live here, and we thank all the generations of people who have taken care of this land for thousands of years. To honor the suffering of Indigenous people and the love and wisdom they have carried for thousands of years, we pledge to work in community and harmony with each other and the environment we inhabit, and work towards truth and reconciliation. We'll start with the roll call again.
Councillor Morley Haskell.
Councillor Nick Ryland.
Councillor Debbie Zulak.
Councillor Mike Hackenan.
Clerk Administrator Ida Watkinson.
Deputy Clerk Carly Brighton.
Mayor David Moore. We've got two more there.
Yep. Treasurer Russian Panic.
Chief Billing Official Chris Portillo.
Thank you. Any declarations of pecuniary and or personal interest in the general nature thereof? Hearing none. Resolution 23-679, moved by Councillor Haskell, second by Councillor Ryland, be it resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby reconvened into regular open session of Council at
6:37
p.m. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 23-680, moved by Councillor Zulak, second by Councillor Kekkonen. Be it resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby accept the reports, recommendations, and directions arising from the closed session held November 7th, 2023. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 23-681, moved by Councillor Ryland, second by Councillor Haskin. Be resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby approve the minutes of the October 17th, 2023 regular meeting of Council as circulated. Any discussion of those minutes? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Planning matters, we have section 15.1, plan 2023-04, Fox Farm Road allowance closure, and some correspondence relating to such. So we have resolution 23-682, moved by Councillor Zulak, second by Councillor Kekkonen. I guess I'll read it for now and then Carly can speak. The result of the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby received report plan 2023-04 Fox Farm Road Allowance Closure from Deputy Clerk Planning Assistant Carly Britton for information purposes. Discussion? Carly, maybe you want to just read a digest version?
October 17, 2023, in regards to the road allowance closure application applied for by Andrew Schnitzman. Correspondence from Robinson Solway was received, and they expressed interest in purchasing 33 feet of the 66-foot road allowance. Also at the public meeting, Leslie Chester, president of Fox Farm Road Association, spoke on behalf of the 25 members who built the road 15 years ago. Leslie expressed several concerns to council regarding the closure, and most notably referencing the Township's official claim where section 7.09 states the policy to preserve existing access points to recreational water bodies wherever possible so long that they are no adverse environmental or social impacts. Council must first determine whether they want to deem this road allowance surplus. There has been comments made by the people on the Fox Farm Road, as well as the applicant and interested party in purchasing the other part of the road allowance. My report details if council were to deem the road surplus, what that procedure would look like, as Andrew Schnitzen is the primary applicant, and then there's also another party interested in purchasing. So the report details that, and it also details financial costs, so there would be no costs incurred on behalf of the township. It would ultimately be be that of the applicant, and then if the interested party was to purchase part of the road allowance as well, they would be they would split the cost as well, and that would be determined by our solicitor. So council's received a lot of information thus far. Some members of council have gone and done a site visit, so now it's just left up to council to decide whether they would like to deem the land surplus and how we move forward with that.
Okay, great, thank you. And since then, we've had further correspondence from Leslie Chester. I think that's in the package, that was in the agenda package as well. I'm not sure if she's here or not, whether she wants to speak to her letter. Not on Zoom, okay. And we've had this information now, we're hearing it from different sides, and so what I'd like to do at this point, and then council can be involved, but if anybody from the public wishes to speak to this particular application as well, we're willing to listen to that, and then we'll discuss it further and maybe make a decision this evening. Anybody from the public that wishes to comment on this application? As I say, there's been further information coming from Ms. Chester, and that was in the agenda package. So I think even the public's had a chance to see that. Yes, you can speak to them. Right.
So my name is Andrew Snorvinson. So again, one of the applicants at this point, it's me and Rob, who have actually expressed interest in closing that piece of land in order for me to build further to allow for this particular road to be converted into a municipal road potentially in the future. Members of the council and members of the community, it's a coincidence, guys, but now I have here in the room like five or six wonderful ladies who are actually converting their road to municipal right now as we speak and fairly happy about that. So that's really the whole point. I just would like to remind you that people are actually going through a lot of hoops and jumping through multiple obstacles to get to that point, and congratulations that you actually achieved that. And I just would like to remind you that that's really the whole point for this particular application, is to maintain this hope for us as a Fox Farm residents from 5 years from now, 10 years from now, so we can be in the same room as this group of wonderful ladies who actually went through this exercise and actually hopefully will get their road converted to municipal. That's one comment I wanted to make, because again, I just learned about that and really happy for them. And second piece is really, we discussed it multiple times already, and thank you very much for your patience with this process. And again, I don't want to go through details, but it's definitely that I have presented a lot of benefits of closing that particular road, and I haven't seen a single comment aside from waterfront and other irrelevant discussions which will actually show that community or township or anybody will actually be harmed by this road closure. And it's a fact. So it's a fact, and I would like to make sure you consider that we have a lot of benefits and a lot of, on our opposite side, we have opinions, I respect the people's opinions, but at the same time, opinions were accounted by legal advice from professionals. So again, there is nothing really indicating any harm in closing this road, and tons of benefits to community, to individuals who are actually sharing that road, to potential for this particular community to grow further. And that's really my final comment. Again, if you have any questions, I'm more than willing to answer them. But at the same time, that's really a pinnacle of what we discussed many, many times now, essentially. So.
Yeah. Okay, I appreciate that.
And the letter does not have any new information. It's pretty much the same personal opinions, which is great, but at the same time, yeah, it boils down to tons of benefits and really no downside to that.
Okay. Thank you. Yes.
I thought Leslie Chester was going to be online, but obviously she isn't, so I'm just going to speak for the association. Not on the association or anything like that. I used to be at one time, but I'm not now. But anyway, the...
what was her name?
Red Moore.
Sorry.
Red Moore. I live on Fox Farm Road.
Yeah, sorry, we should have asked for that. You know, so familiar to us that we forgot to ask.
to address a couple of things that Mr. Sternenson said, have you seen the correspondence for consideration from Leslie Chester?
So
the last one that the mayor mentioned.
Yes, I believe I did.
Yes, he had said that it doesn't raise any new information, so I'd assume that he'd read it, yes. It was in the agenda package.
Okay. I'm just surprised at your comment that there was no concerns with opening whatever. That letter did address a lot of concerns with opening via having to cross the private road, which is paid for by the association down there, to bring in water service and or hydro or whatever you might need to bring in for a lot. Maybe you aren't going to put hydro in, maybe it's going to be solar, I don't know, but you still have to cross that municipal road. In order to do construction on that property, there's a high cliff there, and there's probably going to be blasting taking place, so you could erode the rocks.
Once again, we're deviating from the closing of the road.
Okay, we'll just let him make his comments, and then you can reply.
Yeah.
We want it all on microphones. So
yeah, sure.
So anyway, that's all I wanted to do is bring up those issues that the association had with, because of those issues, the increased cost to them, because it is a private road, and to address Mr. Snerdinson's issue about them being taken over, having the township take it over as a municipal road, it's not in their radar at all. According to the president and many of the members I've talked to, they have no intentions of approaching the township and bringing that up to a standard to have the township take it over. They're quite happy with the situation they have there. So I'm not sure where you heard that from. But anyway,
did you read the first letter from Mr. Chester?
You finish and then he can come up.
Okay.
In the future, it might be not even be the owners of the
first
now,
letter.
20 years
specifically said that. The very first letter sent to the council.
Okay, through the chair. I mean that way.
Anyway, the.
What I want to get clear, maybe while you're there, and that since you did mention it is a private road and everybody is part of that,
mm-hmm.
Would Mr. Snernitsen belong to that? I'm not sure his situation right now, but would he be part of that group?
I'm sure he'd be quite welcome to join.
And then in which case? Then he'd be responsible for some of the costs as well, whatever it is, for what he's doing. He'd
right.
be paying his share because he's part of the association.
Right.
Okay.
So any added costs for insurance or anything like that?
Yeah.
But all the other retailers down there would pay extra.
Right.
Because of what he's doing.
Right. Yeah, it'd be added on. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, that's all I want to say.
Okay.
Anybody else has any more questions?
May I reply?
Yes.
So, the very first letter sent to the council specifically outlined as one of the points that me building will impede our opportunity to actually convert it in the future. So, it's essentially now, once again, as I mentioned, deviation from the road closure discussion is definitely constant, and every letter is discussing everything other than road closure. Let me bring back the point that road closure will not harm anybody, does not have any any negative impact, and has tons of positive impact. And it still stays. All these letters sent related to hydro, I don't know, probably septic, whatever it is, I'm not sure. It's irrelevant to the discussion of road closure. And as I mentioned, as a side note, I already got a consulted about that with professionals. Some provided written response, which council has opportunity to review. Some just provided it to me. So it's not a concern to me, and it shouldn't be a concern to road association, how I'm going to build, like, is it going to be solar, hydro, whatever. So the point is road closure will actually allow the neighborhood to maintain this opportunity. Now, I assume change of mind, that's fine. It's up to you guys to change the approach to your future growth and whatnot, but at least opportunity will be there. And that's why I don't want to comment on opinions, because opinions can change dramatically. As you can see, it changed over the course of a couple of weeks. But at the same time, opportunity will be there if opinions will change again and community decide to go municipal road as an option. That's my point.
Okay. Just for clarification, the private portion of the road right now, do you use any part of that access to your property?
It actually goes from my property, and it is part of the right of way, which granted through my property.
Through your property?
Correct.
So you have every right to travel on that road that is a private road?
It's going through my property, yes.
Yeah.
It is. Everybody else is allowed to use it because it right of way was given.
Right.
Once again, it was not donated. It was given as long as certain conditions are met. But it is going through my property.
Yeah.
And, you know, I cannot build but on that particular road.
No.
But again, some conditions need to be met for this privilege to continue, so and so forth.
Yeah. No, I just wanted to clarify that you have access to your property without joining the association. You don't have to be part of that to...
No, I'm more than welcome to join the association.
No, I'm just saying.
So again, it's not about... Again, all I'm doing, I'm actually spending my money to buy this road closure so community can benefit. Again, as I mentioned, some people are actually working really hard to get to that point, and I don't want to impede our opportunity, as well as mine, to have the same option down the road. But again, yeah, I'm planning to join down the road. I mean, not right away, because I'm not building, it's just a vacant lot. But eventually, yeah.
Okay. Great. Thank you. I wonder if Chris, CBO, do you have any particular views on this? Or... I don't want to put you on the spot, but I know you're here for another item, but...
No, not at this moment.
Okay, fair enough. Questions from council?
Am I allowed to make a comment?
Oh, yeah, sure, sorry. Yes, go ahead. I just need your name. Okay.
As you're probably very well aware, I am the owner of the other side of the road office. And I just kind of wanted to make our opinions known that I'm not actually in favor of the sale of the road office. I'm actually probably more opposed to it than anything. But where my position was is that if council elects that they're going to deem this road allowance not usable and it's going for sale, then I possibly am interested in the purchase of the 33 feet in which, you know, I would be entitled to. But I didn't want it, I don't want it amplified that I am bringing this to light or I am pushing for this to get passed for this road allowance to be sold.
Okay, fair enough. Thank you. Appreciate that.
And that's brought up. Can I make a comment as well? Because. And Rob, glad you brought it up. I wanted to discuss it, and I already discussed it as well. I wanted to discuss it after. I mean, if you decide decision, if it's going to be yes or no, if it's no, then it's a good point. But I mean, you brought it up. So again, as part of the, as I mentioned at the very beginning, you were not part of the August discussions, but just to give you an idea, legal counsel, which actually proposed purchase of that unopened road as part of moving the dwelling further from the road, was very explicit about the process. So yes, you have the right, and it's everybody's obligation to offer you that half of the road, so which is fine, again, that's absolutely not a problem. But at the same time, you with this right comes an obligation to share every cost as soon as you engaged in agreement that you would like to buy it. What I mean by that, and it's very critical for you to understand, that right now, you went through this exercise already with your lot. You spent tons of money, actually to surveying the lot, having legal counselor spending time on doing whatever paperwork. The same approach, the same process will be here. Key point is, if you change your mind, you must pay 50% of that cost. So again, you have to make your mind before, or I mean, like right now. So it's not like you change your mind and it's actually goes to somewhere else. So that's really, we are equal partners here, and it is a risk, to be honest with you. That's why I brought it from the very beginning. I don't know how much township wants to sell this land for, but it will be thousands upon thousands upon thousands of dollars even before we get to that point. It is a risk which I'm a little bit uneasy about, but as long as you're actually willing to purchase second part, you are on the hook for the 50% if, for example, township decides to sell it for $1 million and we both say, no, we're not interested. So all the legal survey and everything else needs to be split 50-50. And that's really the change, the only change in that, I'm not sure how you call it, report to council, I guess.
Yeah.
It says, and that's what I would like to amend, it says if other part refused or decide not to purchase, then applicant, which is me, will pay the whole cost. Only if I decide to buy it as well. If we were both decided not to buy it, then it has to be split 50-50. And that's not my opinion, that's really how it works. So it's not, risks comes both ways. I mean, obviously you have opportunity to purchase, but at the same time you have to bear risks if the price, for example, is not acceptable for both of us. Because again, we're not buying it out of necessity, but out of really, anyway, that's really the point. And that's critical. So again, if I will stay in the deal and decide to proceed with the purchase, then no problem. Obviously, I'll pay everything. But if we both decide not to purchase, then whatever the cost you guys incurred has to be split 50-50, and it's going to be a lot. So that's really the key point. I would like to make sure, Rob, you understand the process.
Yeah. Okay? I would think that it'd be, maybe Carly can speak to this, it'd be beyond what we're doing necessarily. There'd be a separate agreement where they sign either I'm not interested, I mean, you might even be signing that, in which case we don't go any further, I mean, depending on how the resolution goes, but they would have to do the separate agreement of who's paying what. I mean, we can't force that to happen, I don't think. They have to sign off through their solicitors, I suppose, saying that they are in for the long haul and these are the costs. All we do is put the costs out there, and then they have to decide if they're both in on it, right? They'd have to do that at the beginning.
So costs won't change depending on how many purchasers there are. The cost will be the cost, no matter if it's Andrew Schnitzen paying all of it or if it's being split between Andrew and the Solways.
Right. But I'm just asking, they'd have to agree before. I mean, the costs stay the same, as you said. But if Mr. Schnitzen is paying all or half, that would have to be signed somewhere.
Yes, so when the road closure procedures are complete and all the expenses have been incurred to determine what the consideration amount is, surveying, legal costs, it all goes to the township solicitor. At that point, then this always would come in as a purchasing party, and then costs would be split, and the solicitor is the one that determines the cost and bills each applicant or tells them how much to pay the township.
Okay, so the costs would be up front before anything is done. So they would know before they agreed to anything.
Not necessarily, because the township isn't aware of all the costs incurred until we've incurred them, because costs can vary.
So, I mean, the way it's set up, then it'd be a deposit of some sort expected from the
applicant?
So currently, okay. Andrew Sinichin is the applicant of this road closure application. He has paid a non-refundable administration fee and a $1,000 deposit. That deposit is used when incurring costs for this closure. Rob and Sue Salway are coming in as a purchasing party. They are not an applicant. Andrew Schnitzen is the one that executed this road closure. The Salways are coming in as the adjoining property owner wanting to purchase if it goes this way.
I'm just thinking, though, if for instance we have an appraisal done on the property and there's an actual fee for that, they must have had a signed agreement beforehand that they're both paying for the appraisal?
No, that is Andrew Schnitzen's cost.
Oh, okay. Is he aware of that then?
No, it's incorrect. That's the opposite from what my lawyer told me. As soon as as soon as he expressed interest, he not only get the right to purchase, he obtains responsibility as well. So with this right comes responsibility to share costs. He does not have a responsibility, I mean, he's not, it's not a mandatory for him to actually, accept or purchase half of it, but if he decides to do it, then he's actually a co-applicant for this application and shares everything. So he needs to provide the same deposit, and whatever cost is incurred, we'll have to split 50-50.
Okay.
So,
well, Rob has a comment here. Mr. Solway, yes.
Yeah, I think I completely disagree with that.
Okay.
You know, we have a road closure that has not even been deemed sellable by council. Why am I signing on that I'm going to sign up for all of these fees for a road closure that I don't necessarily want in the first place? My only thought process here is that if council deems that they're going to move forward with this, I want the option to be able to provide 50% of the fees and end up with 33 more feet to my property that I don't need. But I would be just as happy if council decided, no, we don't want to do this. And I don't feel that I need to define that right here and now.
Well, that's what I was wondering, if there had to be some agreement signed between the two of them because before the costs are even out there, because we're incurring the costs, and Mr. Snednitson's saying if it at some point Mr. Solway comes in, I've already expended some costs that he should be paying for. He should be paying half of those. Now I'm hearing that maybe he wouldn't be paying half because he hasn't decided yet. Shouldn't they agree, first of all, how they're going to do this?
No, because the costs don't change no matter how many purchasing parties there are. Andrew Stenenson filed an application with the township. He signed that he would incur all the costs no matter what. It was secondary that the Solways expressed interest in potentially purchasing 33 feet of the road allowance. So in our bylaw, you know, it says that we are to offer that abutting adjoining landowner an opportunity to purchase the property. If it happens that this goes through, costs are incurred, it all works out in the wash with the solicitor at the end. Costs are totaled and they're divided equally.
If he is willing to pay. If he's not willing to pay, and I don't want to pay, for example, then who's paying for that?
You. Because you signed the application saying that you would incur the cost.
So I definitely, you're based on what my lawyer told me, you're absolutely incorrect. He has 30 days to make his mind, so that's why you sent him a letter saying you have 30 days to express your interest. As soon as he expressed his interest, he's in for 50% of everything. Land, risks, costs, right at the same moment. It's not that somebody's taking all the risk and he's just, after 30 days, it's not his decision anyway. You don't need this road allowance, that's fine. Then I totally understand. But within 30 days, he accepted 50% of the land, or he would like to proceed with that. Then it's not my opinion. If probably legal opinion needs to be, if you need legal opinion from the township, that's fine. But again, that's really the process. I discussed it before I actually proposed it. As I mentioned, it was not my just wild idea to actually submit this application. It was well outlined process by the lawyer telling what needs to be done in order for this to happen. So, and that's exactly the, first of all, it makes sense, and second of all, that's the process. I understand that you might have different opinions, so maybe we need a level set on that.
Okay, Councillor Zula.
Well, I have September the 14th, you signed this payment of fees. As of the date of this application, I hereby agree to pay for and bear the entire cost and expense for any legal and or external planning consulting expenses incurred by the Township of McKellar during the processing of this application, in addition to any application fee set by the Township of McKellar. So
agreed.
I think you've signed that and you've agreed to pay for it. So I think you're obligated to
it. It was before Mr. Robb expressed his interest.
It doesn't matter. You were the applicant for this road closure.
I'm thinking, okay. Councillor Ryan?
Can I ask a question? I think the question properly is for you, Carly. How would, if the Solways do want to purchase the 33 feet, how would they indicate that and with whom? In other words, what's unclear to me is, I understand they have an interest, at least a conditional interest, but who would the agreement be with? Would it be with Mr. Sternetsky? Sorry, I mispronounced that. Or would it be with the township? Or?
It would be with the township through our solicitor.
Okay. But would that then form part of the application or no?
No, the application is solely Andrew Sternetsky's.
Okay.
The Salways would be coming in as a purchasing party.
Okay. And our lawyer, I know it says this in your memo, would divide the cost, I think you even said equally. Equally at that time.
Correct. So the township will incur costs for surveying, appraisal, legal, all that.
Yeah.
I send our solicitor the cost that the township has incurred, and then she, you know, would split the cost between the purchasers, whether that be Andrew Sternetsky at 100% or him at 50% and Robin Sue Salway at 50%.
Agreed. Why don't we sign this before we incur any cost? Rob, are you willing to sign this with the solicitor? I have no problem doing that. If you're willing to do it, 50%, 50%, that's, again, worse for me. If you don't, then I will incur 100%, as I indicated in the application, signed before you express your interest.
That's okay.
Yeah, I think the report indicates that the applicant signed that he must bear the entire cost of the application. With an additional purchaser, costs will not change. During the registration process, costs during the registration process, costs will be equally divided between the purchasers by the township solicitor.
Which was the point of my question, just for the record, just to understand that. But I'm still not sure how the Salways would do that. What are they submitting and to whom? An offer to purchase, like to the township, is that?
Yeah, through working with our solicitor.
Okay.
But I can see where it could go off the rails here. As you see, if he's not in from the ground up, I mean, at the beginning, there's always a possibility as you start into the process, you're agreeing to pay it all, yes. But then at some point down the road, he says, now I want in, and I'm not going to pay, I want to be one of the purchasers, and I don't want to pay any of those things you've already paid.
No, so when
there has to be something signed.
When the transaction goes through with the solicitor, it would be the consideration amount and 50% of the costs that would come back to the township. We're not going to sell 33% of the feet of the road allowance without the entire bill paid, and that would be the consideration and their percentage of the costs.
But if Mr. Salway doesn't sign anything, then how do you get money from him?
Then he wouldn't be purchasing the road allowance.
Right. But what if he wants it at that point?
He wouldn't be purchasing it. Purchase, it goes through with the sale.
Okay. Right, we need to get the microphone, though.
Do you want me to go up there?
Sure.
No?
Okay, yeah. Oh, you got one? Okay, that's good.
there's something very important here. I think that if you're missing is that if Mr. Salway doesn't pay the cost, then he isn't going to get the property in his name.
Right. So, but he's not that interested then. But.
Yeah, so then it would revert, all of it would revert back to Mr. Sternson.
Yeah.
But then he would have 66 feet.
Just one question, clarification on the staff report. I got the impression that the whole road allowance was for sale if it was decided to sell it, whereas I've seen a copy of a highlighted map that showed that Mr. Sternetsky was only interested in part of it.
Yeah.
So which is it?
Was part of it. I don't know what map you looked at, but it is part of it. He actually reduced it from the original application.
Yes.
Application.
Yeah, I got the impression from the
staff. It's not touching the road. Whatever the road, road will not be touched. I mean, this road goes through this road allowance. It's definitely not part of the sale. Whatever is outside of the actual road, it's for sale. Oh, not for sale, but that's what we expressed.
So the township will retain part of the road office.
Yes.
So is there a drop-dead date for Mr. Salway, Mr. and Mrs. Salway?
But as to when they need to express their interest?
Yeah.
Technically not.
No? Even if we do declare a surplus, and even if Mr. Sternetsky buys the whole thing, the 66 feet?
Yes, because he submitted the application to purchase the entire.
Understood. And there's no provision for a joint application or a multiple application for the purchase of the road allowance? I think that there is no such thing, which is one of the issues.
No, it's one application. It's
right.
You don't have a joint application for a road closure.
Then it means it's only me. So, like, I'm not sure why we're inviting Rob then if it's just one applicant. It's, I know for sure that it's, again, it is his right to purchase and his obligation. So maybe it's easier to, as a first step, sign this with the solicitor, this agreement, and proceed with everything else after that. That's definitely...
Yeah, I'm not interested in signing anything, I can tell you that. Council's going to have to decide if they want to, you know, move forward with this or not. And then, you know, according to, from everything that I've heard, I have the option to purchase, and then I will be billed with the total amount of fees and costs, and I will pay it if I deem that I want that purchase.
Okay, that was interesting to hear. Ina?
I just wanted to ask, really, is this not two separate transactions? We've got a road closure, which is one transaction, and then we have a purchase, which is another transaction. Is that, am I understanding that correctly?
No, I would see it as one transaction with two purchasing parties.
Okay.
Okay. Well, I'm thinking that... I've read that one already.
But you didn't.
Oh, okay. Did we even vote on it?
No.
Okay, we'll go back to it. What I'm thinking here, because we're hearing different opinions, and we're not hearing specifically from a solicitor. We're hearing people who have hired solicitors.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking that regardless of how this motion goes here, we should be consulting as well, although again, I don't want a situation where that's beginning to add to the bill. But I don't think we should be going forward, because the whole idea here now, we're hearing both sides that he has to sign immediately, he doesn't have to sign and commit at some other point. He's not an applicant, he's a purchaser, and I think we have to get it straight from, I guess, a source that is more objective. Councilor Cuckin?
Where did the deputy clerk get this information? I see it mentions Section 66 of the Municipal Act. Have you consulted with the solicitor as well?
So that reference is just in terms of financial. So Section 66 of the Municipal Act is when a road closure application would have no fees paid. So that's where, like, for instance, an actual traveled road goes through a road allowance and it wasn't deemed to the township at that point back in history, then it is the obligation of the township to have that in the township's name, and that's at no cost to the owner. So that's a different application.
So, but this was in this report for SNRC minutes and for PLN 202305. This report that we have right before us here.
Yeah.
So did you consult with the solicitor as
I
well?
I have consulted with our solicitor on other road closure applications. I have not yet with this one. No fees have been incurred for this application.
Okay. You got a microphone?
just a question here. Is the cart not being put before the horse here? Mr. Schnurnitz, and you're talking about incurring costs for him before he even knows if you're going to sell the road house. Does it not have to be a decision to declare it, whether you're going to declare it surplus and sell it or not, before he starts incurring costs for legal fees?
Well, the resolution's sitting in front of me, but our question is, we want to make sure everybody is aware of what the procedure is and what the costs might be. We don't want to go ahead and declare the surplus, and then he finds out that, okay, we're going to go to a solicitor and it's going to cost him. He should have some ideas up front.
But you have $1,000 deposit from that you're
right,
going to start to spend.
It might already be spent. I have no idea.
The card says it's not. But
the land hasn't been deemed surplus yet, so no costs have been incurred. The only time that the township would start going to the surveying and legal is when it's deemed surplus, because what's the point right now?
Yeah.
And that's legal pieces definitely would be a much better starting point, especially based on the fact that Rob doesn't want to buy it, he want to buy it, it's not clear, it has to be, and I don't want to deal with that when cost is incurred.
Right.
And again, I'm not pushing Rob to buy it or not buy it, it's up to him, but he needs to make his mind, as well as commit to costs, as well as opportunity to purchase car from the property. That's that simple. Again, it has nothing to do with Rob or myself. It's just
procedure. That's it, Okay. Well,
can I make a comment? Or?
Yes. Okay.
I'm just wondering if I decide that I don't want to move forward with purchase here, are you fully agreeable to take on all of the costs that are encountered and pay that 100% on your own?
That's the risk I was actually really concerned about, and I was accepting it when I signed this application. I accepted this risk because essentially I'm signing for all the costs without knowing how much they will actually sell it to me. So it is a huge risk. That's why I expected support from the community because it's a big deal. But I mean, yes, I totally. That's why I wanted to make sure you understand the risk. It's like it's a lot of money and with unclear outcome. So, and yes, to answer your question, I didn't know if you will be interested or not, but I assume that even if you will not be interested, I will incur all the cost only if you are not interested. But as soon as you're actually on board, then I'm more than happy. Trust me, more than happy to split all the costs. But again, it's up to you.
Okay. That's good. Thank you. We have actually two resolutions here. I've just been informed. We didn't vote on the previous one. So we have resolution 23-682, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Kekkonen. Be resolved the Council of the Corporation of Township of McKellar is hereby received. Report PLN 2023-04, Fox Farm Road Allowance Closure from Deputy Clerk Planning Assistant Carly Griffin for information purposes. We'll call a question on that one. All those in favor? Not opposed? Carried. And we have resolution 23-683. This really wasn't a public meeting, though. Moved by Councilor Kekkonen, second by Councilor Zulak, whereas a public meeting was held.
No.
Oh, October 17th, it says, okay. 2023 for the proposed road allowance closure on Fox Farm Road, where the public was able to comment on the application. The Council has taken all comments into careful consideration. Now, therefore, be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has deemed the original road allowance between Park Lot 26, Concession 9, and Lots 24 and 25, Concession 9, surplus, and further proceed with the bylaw to stop up, close, and sell the property in accordance to bylaw 2011-24 as amended. Discussion. This is for Council. Councilor Kekkonen.
So there was some mention here tonight about processes and procedure, and after reviewing what has been going on here, I have a question. Considering that this, in principle, stop up and closure came to the council meeting on the August 1st, 2023, with resolution 23-519, which was completely defeated by council. How did this get back onto the agenda when there was no motion to reconsider this application? Was proper procedure followed to get this back onto the table?
Do you have that resolution?
So
it was defeated, you said.
So this is August 1st, 2023.
And how does it read?
And so it was, be it resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive report PLN 22302 Road Allowance Closure Support in Principal Cernitson from Deputy Clerk Planning Assistant Carly Britton, and further... Council does hereby approve the request in principle to stop up, close, and sell part of the original road allowance on Fox Farm Road as requested by Andrew Cernitson, subject to the following conditions. The registered owner of Concession 9, Lot 25, be notified by mail of the proposed road closure immediately. The right of way be extended and registered, continuing to grant access to Concession 9. 25, the survey be completed at the expense of the applicant before the public meeting is held, and the survey and site plan, including total lot area, be submitted to the chief building official to verify that a dwelling may be constructed on part of the lot with or without the requirement for a minor variance application.
And how did the book go there? What was it?
I believe that was unanimous. It wasn't a recorded vote, but I believe it was unanimous of council, and it was defeated.
So it says defeated on your resolution then? Okay. Okay. Now, since then, we've had a public meeting, right?
So on August the 15th, this resolution came back to the table without a motion for reconsideration brought by a member of council to bring this back to the table to stop up and close this road allowance. So, you know, looking back, I was wondering, how did this get back to the table? It was soundly defeated when it first came to the table August 1st. So just a question, you know, was procedural matters followed in this situation?
Well, the Carly wants to speak to the applicant, must have come back in. I'm not sure the procedure there.
I just want to double check that resolution quick, but from my understanding, the first application that Andrew Smithson proposed was a larger portion of the road allowance,
it
and then
was.
He came back with a reduced, so it wouldn't impact the traveled portion of Fox Farm Road.
Yeah, it was
so
a different application.
A different application then.
So a second application came forward. Okay. So there was some mention about some comparison about Craig Moore and this application. I disagree. They're not similar. It's two totally different issues. And from what I recall during the two terms of council that I've served, the requests to purchase or exchange township road allowances were due to issues or concerns that the proponents had or were dealing with in each and every case. And in each and every case, I do not recall opponents coming forward to oppose the municipality passing a stop up and closing bylaw of the portion of the municipal road allowance. Examples, Martha Drive, the driveway issue, Sunny Shore Park Drive, septic setback issue, the trespass roads, Zulac and Fern Harris. Brad Roberts, Burnett's Road, access issue, 185 Herdville Road, Bracken, where the road allowance goes through their property. So each and every one of those cases, there were issues that were in place at that point in time. And I believe I did hear a statement from the proponent, Mr. Snernitzen, at the first deputation, that he had completed his due diligence and would be able to build on the property. And this is, he completed his due diligence prior to purchasing the property, and that he would be able to build on the property and fulfill whatever intentions he had if not the township sold it to him. He had done his due diligence and there was no issues. Each and every one of those other cases, there were issues that the proponents were dealing with. And again, once tonight, he did mention that he's not purchasing this piece of property out of necessity. So, since the original proposal to purchase the municipal road allowance, a second interested party has come forward, as noted in the email, agenda package, October 17, 2023. And in Mr. Salway's letter, he asks the question, why is the road allowance being sold? We feel the road allowance should remain intact for the future building of the municipal road, given the interested properties. The road allowance should remain intact for the future building of the municipal road, given the increased properties on this road. Why is this road allowance being sold? It's not addressing an issue. There is no issue, according to Mr. Snernitzen. But we have heard from opponents, many of them, a whole association, bringing forward issues and concerns about the proposal creating future potential problems for the road association. And in fact, the concluding words of the letter from the president of the Road Association indicated, in short, we urge you under no circumstances to sell a portion of this road allowance now or in the future. So I just want to conclude by saying, with the other proposals that the proponents have come forward, they were addressing an issue, and they wanted to purchase the road allowance to solve a problem. The proponent himself has indicated there is no problem, and we are creating a problem for the opponents according to what their understanding of the situation is, and they should know because they live in that area. So I'm opposed to selling of this road allowance because it's not solving a problem, but it's potentially causing a problem for the people that live in that area, and a problem that they will own, not the township. That's my position.
Okay, well, in any application, of course, people can come forward for or against it or never say anything. So you can't, you know, say that this is the way it has to be, that if people haven't come forward, now people have come forward, so it should be treated differently. There hasn't always been a problem, the one you mentioned on Burnett's. There was no problem there. There was no need to take that road allowance. It made it easier for him. It's something he wanted to do. But there's the Roberts one that you mentioned. So just as a case in point, that's all. But that's okay. You made your points. That's good. So any counselors, anybody else has any opinions? And like I say, with this particular one, too, I had used the very first time, and I'm sure it's on record, that we do have in the official plan that we certainly attempt to keep road allowances open that lead to water. We've had cases in the past where we've turned down applications because of that, and there were no other access points. It's been pointed out to us here that there is an access point on the way in. There'll be no access point out to Middle River if this is closed, because it'll all be private property, that portion of it. But that's what council has to decide. You visited the site, you looked at the cliff that exists there. I mean, do you feel that the future council will be blasting that rock and putting in a road there, a township road, year-round or whatever? Right now, all the people in there have access to their properties. And I would have, that's what I wanted to clear earlier with Mr. Snernitson, that he has access, and that people beyond, if there are, there are lots in there, Mr. Solway's lot, for instance, I think he had a couple for sale, I don't know the situation there, but I would assume that those people have access across the private road, that they have a right-of-way to get in there. The road allowance is not a problem, the road that exists, but once you veer off onto the private, then you need to have the approval, the authority to get in there. And as long as that's taken care of, and anybody going in beyond that point has access, then that takes care of some of the concerns. Okay, other council members, any comments? We have the resolution in front of us, essentially declaring it surplus, and then, as Carly has said, there are different steps to follow after that point. So I'll call the question then.
Recorded vote.
Okay. And Councillor Kekkonen muted to it. So. Even louder in here.
Councillor Morley Haskin.
Yes.
Councillor Mike Kekkonen.
No.
Councillor Nick Ryland.
Yes.
Councillor Debbie Zulak.
Yes.
Mayor David Moore.
Yes. Okay, so 4 yeas, 1 nay. That's carried. End of that conversation, we move on. And resolution 23-684, moved by Councillor Haskin, second by Councillor Ryland, be it resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive the minutes of the September 28th, 2023 meeting of the Township of McKellar Recreation Committee. Discussion of those minutes. Call the question, all those in favor? And resolution 23-685, moved by Councillor Kekkonen, second by Councillor Zulak, be it resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar hereby receive the minutes of the July 17th, 2023, August 28th, 2023, and September 27th, 2023 meetings of the Belvedere Heights Board of Management. Any discussion of those minutes? Councilor Pegner?
There was one question on page 2 of the July 17th minutes, and it indicated that there's going to be bridge financing of up to $95,000 for the community support service to acquire the accessible van for the Employment Social Development Canada Seniors Connect grant to be repaid by CSS upon the receipt of the first installment of the grant in October of 2023. Did they get the first installment of the grant?
Yeah.
Other discussion? All the question, all those in favor? Not opposed and carried. And resolution 23-686, moved by Councilor Ryland, second by Councilor Haskin. Be it resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive the minutes of the September 25th, 2023 meeting of the Township of McKellar Public Library Board. Any discussion of those minutes? Councilor Ryland?
Just under item 5, it's not really a question about the minutes. I mean, the library's in need of children's books. I mean, has anybody, have they asked anybody to donate them or anything else? I mean, I'm not sure that that's what the intention was, but, and I don't know if you know, Debbie, but...
I know amongst the board, we've discussed it.
Okay.
About the children's books, but yeah, if anybody can donate any children's books, they're in desperate need of them.
Okay.
It would be great.
But I mean, an appeal on Facebook or
yeah,
whatever
would
likely drive that. Yeah, that's my opinion. I've got 5 grandchildren and they grow out of the books and what the heck.
Okay.
I would happily donate.
That up.
So,
yeah.
But yeah, Facebook or wherever is appropriate, whatever helps, right? And let people know. So.
Yeah. I do know, though, if anybody does go to barely used books to get books, that you can, you know how you can get points?
Yeah.
You can have your points go towards the McKellar Library.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't know that either until the last meeting.
Okay. That's great.
Well, it's interesting. Yeah, that's how the library started, donations.
Yeah.
And we've never seen so many National Geographic and Reader's Digest and people just cleaning out their house, I think. And,
it's good to know, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
it wasn't a good start to the library, but we did eventually get some pretty good books coming in.
Well, I mean, let's face it. I mean, children outgrow books and have them probably every day, and over time they accumulate quite a number of them, I can tell you. So, anyhow, it's just good to know, and I just thought, why not ask people, right? So, okay.
No, that'd be great.
Okay, any further discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. To staff reports. Yeah, resolution 23-687, moved by Councilor Pekkanen, second by Councilor Zulak. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive report BP 23-02, municipal enforcement of on-site sewage systems from Chief Building Official Chris Portillo for information purposes. Discussion? And actually, we can turn to Chris, he's here. You want to speak to it?
So, just a brief overview of my report. The province reached out to mayor and council, expressing any townships that may have interest in taking over the enforcement of on-site sewage systems. My report just gives a background and explaining how it currently works as a two-window kind of shop. If somebody's applying for a building permit for a new dwelling or an addition, they have to consult with North Bay Mattawa Conservation Authority. It does cause some delays, and as my report shows, that they do not provide any copies of septic permits to the township anymore for the past 2 years, which does cause delays. When it comes to issuing building permits, it also causes delays when they try to close building permits because they do not get any notices of completions from the septic authority. It has to go directly from them to the owner to the township. So the province was reaching out to see if councils have any interest in taking over, and I've provided a few options.
Chris, am I just speaking more?
Sorry.
Tonight?
Yes. Yeah.
Can you tip it up, Chris? I subject that's part of it. Yeah.
Over the past 3 years, there's been an average of approximately 35 permits issued for septic systems in new Class 4 septic systems in McKellar. I've explained the cost as per North Bay Mattawa Conservation Authority's fee schedule, which provides approximately $35,000 in revenue just based on permit fees. It's not feasible for the township just to take it over. Being a one inspector municipality, there's no way that one person would be able to take on a role of all of those inspections permitting. It's just not really feasible. Majority of those inspections are going to be done during the summer months. There's probably a 6-7 month window that you're completing septic inspections. You're not doing them in the winter. That's the busiest time for the building department, so for the CBO to just take on the role of enforcing it on his own wouldn't work. So the first option would be to hire a second inspector. Second option would be to do a joint service with another municipality. I know that McDougall, I've spoken to the chief building official there, and they have agreed and expressed interest in principle as well, but obviously, like McKellar, it is very preliminary. And then, obviously, third option is leaving all enforcement of North Bay and Mattawa. So, my report kind of details those a little further, but if you have any questions, I'm happy to answer.
Councilor Zula?
So, Chris, in the report it says that you, for the last 2 years, you haven't received any copies of the permits?
Yes.
Is that the permit?
That's correct.
Are we the only township, or is that
to my knowledge,
all
yes.
of these towns? So it's just McKellar that isn't getting it?
Yes. That's correct.
Okay.
Councilor Ryan?
The Lake Stewardship and Environment Committee, which I serve on, this has been a consistent problem with drinking water, source. I'm going to get it wrong. I always get it wrong. But, I mean, there is a whole program that the province offers that McKellar is not covered by either, and neither is our area in West Parry Sound. Mm-hmm. And this is a big concern, is because the typical way this has been dealt with in other municipalities outside of our region is to get copies of septic permits, and particularly to do septic inspections on a 5-year cycle, all the rest. In other words, at the moment, we're stymied by that in terms of both cost and availability to find that kind of information. And I'm sure that, without knowing any details, that there is a great number of properties that existed long before they needed a permit. And again, they could be sources of pollutants in our lake. So this was of great interest. I provided a copy of your memo to Jennifer Gent Fuller, who's the chair of the committee. But I think there's a lot of value here in examining these options further. And certainly, the only thing, and this is, I'm just putting you on the spot on this, if we were to hire an inspector to do this, in option one at least, do you have any idea what the cost would be? Do we know, is there any way to guesstimate what that would be? In other words, if we got $35,000 worth of new revenue, would we probably have to pay more than that for somebody to take on this role?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have a guess of how much?
I'd say probably minimum 60-65.
Okay.
The $35,000 revenue is just for new septic permits for Class 4 systems.
Okay.
There is going to be a little bit extra in any kind of new septic tanks, file reviews, some of the other details that I've kind of included in that part one.
Yeah.
In option one as well, is the septic reinspection program can operate a little bit as a cost recovery basis, so you can recuperate some of the costs for operating a program like that, depending on the type of program. So it's not going to be full revenue neutral in that option one, but at least you're recovering some of the costs. In the past, the building department from 2017 and previous did not operate at revenue neutral. In the last 4 years, we have.
Yeah.
So building permits now are not costing taxpayers dollars, which is good. So,
but maybe option two would be more economical if we only had to pay a half share of a septic inspector.
And that's going to also be dependent on another municipality willing to work with us in doing something like that. You might be able to split the costs, have 2 days McKellar, 3 days McDougall, 2 days, or vice versa. Same with a McKellar Whitestone if they were interested. You'd want to do it with a close municipality, not a McKellar C one. Like it wouldn't really work. But there's other benefits to it as well, and having two people and being able to cover during busy times, potentially do that re-inspection program. There's also the third option is just having North Bay Manawas just continue it. Yeah. So this is a very preliminary report. It's more for those that information, but
if we were
the province brought it to us, I think there's not a lot of opportunities. It's not a simple process to take over the enforcement. So the fact that the province reached out to municipalities is the reason for the report, just to provide a little bit of information and see if we are interested.
If we were to take it over, would we be able to set our own rates and fees?
Yes.
Okay. Which would potentially offset some of the cost, right?
You can't raise them too high.
No.
It's the same with building permit fees. If you're not operating revenue neutral, you can't just raise your fees to unacceptable rates.
No, and that wouldn't be my intention.
You try and do
it
as close as you can,
right,
and you want to operate revenue neutral. It's not always possible.
Mm.
But, yes, you can recover some of the fees, and you would be recovering, I would say, probably at minimum 50%, probably more than that is what would be recovered.
And would we somehow gain access to their existing septic permits?
You would have to. There's probably a fee for that.
Mm.
And I have
no idea
what they would set that to provide all of those records.
Jennifer has that information because she's asked for it. Doesn't have the septic permits. It has inquired about the costs and things. And
it's unfortunate they don't provide them anymore.
Yeah.
They did up until 2 years ago.
Okay.
And they decided to stop as of a disagreement.
Just one last question. I mean, I know there's qualifications that you have in your conclusion. How is that a long process or an onerous process to get the qualifications, get certified?
No.
No?
It is, well, depends on the person. So myself, I have Part 8, which is on-site septic sewer system, so I am qualified. Does not mean I'm knowledgeable. There's a difference. There's obviously courses you can take, and there's other things that I'd be able to reach out to gain the information from people that I know that do enforce it. But there's a part of being qualified. There's the other part of being knowledgeable.
Mm.
And with on-site sewage systems, you need knowledgeable.
Thank you. I think it's a great report. I appreciate it. So,
thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, some interesting information. You know, it seems to me that the key sticking point here is for the last approximately 2 years, North Bay Meadow Conservation Authority has been withholding the permits from the township. If that's one of the key sticking points, wouldn't we try to focus on how to resolve that through the municipality to ensure that if this is holding up permits, not allowing things to flow as smoothly as it could, that we can go directly through council and through our MPP to see if we can resolve this, because he seems to be interested in this issue. So
I would hope that would be nice to, if maybe the MPP can do something, because I certainly couldn't. There was just nothing I could do other than withhold public information from property owners.
Because if we can show the MPP there's a very simple solution to this, so we can get things back on track, and you know, and he has a discussion with whoever he needs to ensure that this information continues to flow as it has been done previously, as the precedent has been up until 2 years ago. I think that's a very simple starting point. And if we want to have a further discussion on this entire topic at another point in time, we can do that. But let's get the ball rolling on fixing this main issue right now.
It's interesting to know the genesis of all. You mentioned the province reaching out. The way Mr. Smith's letter came to us, it's almost like municipalities contacted him.
They did. Yeah.
So I'm wondering, you've heard from the others are receiving the the information, but we're not. So I'm wondering what their why they reached out to Graydon Smith and wanted the municipalities to. I know it goes back decades when I sat on the planning board. And we attempted at that point. Archipelago was able to do their own, and the planning board wanted the authority to do it, and we were turned down. So I'm just wondering, have you heard from any of the other municipalities why they reached out to them?
From two of them, yes. And I do not want to answer the question.
All right.
Been more private conversations between different municipalities, so I don't want to say names or reasons why, but they just feel like a one window stop for enforcement would be much easier, the service would be much better.
And it sounds as if from the letter that he sent that he's willing to take, I don't know how many municipalities he has to hear from, but he's willing to take the information to Queen's Park, I guess, and present something. So.
Yeah, I don't know if it's going to be a number that has to be met. I think if you're interested, they're going to try and work towards a resolution to get that enforcement to those municipalities.
Yeah.
I know of four personally that have expressed interest. I know that there's probably more. I just know off the top of my head there's four.
Yeah.
I do have a meeting, two meetings this month with our chapter, which is all Perry Sound Muskoka, which it'll probably be discussed. So I'd probably have more information at that point.
Mm-hmm. Whether council wants any member of the public to speak?
Sure.
Okay. Reg, we'll need a microphone.
If I remember right, there hasn't been any changes to the building code. Part 8 would have to be changed in order to designate McKellar, say, as the enforcement authority right now in North Bay Mattawa, right?
Yeah.
So there'd have to be approval from Queen's Park, but then there'd have to be a change in the code as well, an update in the code in order to do it. I'd just like to say that I, if it did go ahead, I see benefits to it. There's always been talk of re-inspection programs. If you had a staff person right in the township with authority, then you could do your re-inspection program in-house. Most townships didn't, at that time it started, whenever Part 8 came into the Building Code Act, they didn't feel that re-inspection programs were cost recovery. They collected what they could, but it was kind of a service to the community, so that would be one way of thinking about offsetting costs, is to have the person doing the re-inspection program through the winter, the paperwork part of it anyway.
Okay, good to hear. Any further comments? Now all we have is a resolution, I guess, that that you sent to us before, too, that you accepted in principle sort of thing, and I don't know what the next step is, whether Carly knows whether we have to do anything after this report. Is there, other than just accepting it, do we go back to the MPP again? Or?
Yeah, it's up to council. You can accept the report tonight, and then you can pass another resolution to pick one of Chris's options, or to get back to Graydon Smith saying that it's not supporting principle anymore. We are interested in moving forward. The previous council meeting where the supporting principle was passed, that was forwarded to Graydon Smith, and he did receive it.
Okay. Thank you. Councilor Zulai.
I was just wondering also if we, in sending something back to Graydon Smith, since the environment is always such a concern, if maybe he could put something forward that there would be some kind of a grant or, you know, something to the township if we did take it over, so that would help recover costs too.
At the very least, with transition costs, if we're going to take over their files and that type of thing, which is, that's logical, wouldn't it be? I mean, for
as
what
far as the transition, that yeah, whether it exists, sure.
Let's try it.
Yeah, but yeah, the transition is going to be the most difficult of it all. Is getting the paperwork and making sure that you have the qualified people in order to do the job.
That
are trained, qualified, ready
right.
to hit the ground running.
But going through several similar things in my working life, transitions are always difficult, long, and expensive.
Mm-hmm.
So at the very least, asking for my grant for those, or at least to assist with those, would be beneficial, if indeed that's what council wants to do. And I guess I'm presuming option one or two, it wouldn't hurt, I don't think, anyhow. Did he ask for a reply by a specific time, do you recall?
It was shortly, I don't think. I think he wanted.
So the first correspondence that we received from Graydon, he said he was going to talk to the Ministry of Municipal Affairs and Housing within the 2 weeks of sending the letter.
Okay.
So we did reach the deadline to say that we do support in principle, and he would have expressed that to the minister. And then now we can say whether we're full in or if we've changed our mind.
So do we need to form a proposal on how we would deal with this, whether it's these options or others, in terms of what we prefer to see?
I think that's what Carly
okay.
said, that we
okay.
could do another resolution.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do another resolution for the next meeting? Or
the next meeting, yeah. Unless
yeah, I think it'd be good, because if option two is considered, like with a joint service, it'd
right.
be good to know where St. McDougall stands.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I know that they've just agreed in principle and that they were doing something similar to what I was doing. I don't know if he was doing that before, but you know, it'd be maybe good to reach out to them to see. They're the closest municipality. I know Seagram was interested, but
what's on that?
I don't believe so. But things can change. I've asked Jamie about it, but yeah, I haven't done anything with council as of yet.
Okay, good. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Yeah.
I've been told to read the resolution, so I'll call the question. All those in favor?
What was the resolution?
To accept his report.
No.
None opposed here. Fuel tanks for the public works yard. Resolution 23-688, moved by Councillor Haskin, second by Councillor Ryland. Be it resolved that the Council of the Corporation of Township of Keller has hereby received report number PW-2023-11, new fuel tanks for public works yard, and further that resolution number 23-664 be rescinded, and further that the quotation provided by Parisian Fuels be accepted in the amount of $10,738. Plus HST of $1,395.94 for a total of $12,133.94 for two fuel tanks and two metered electric pumps. And further, that the Parisian Fuels supply fuels for the tanks as the lowest quoted price in the area. Discussion? Now, there were questions at our last meeting about delivery, installation, and a number of things. I think that's been resolved in the report, but you might have questions for Councillor Ryan.
Should we also mention the proposal from Blitz Electric here, too? I mean, I see it's enclosed in the package. I mean, it's $2,000. I mean, it's not a princely sum, but I'm just asking if we should add that to the resolution.
I would think it's something that Greg would do through his procurement. I'm not sure. I can ask Anna about that. Now, the question with the Blitz one that you mentioned, I haven't seen, personally, I don't think it's come to council, any second quote. It's just come in as, this is what,
fair.
It's similar to the railing that's coming later, I think. And so we have to question, I guess, was proper procedure followed there to call them in? So I'm not sure
okay.
whether we want to, but I guess the question is, as you mentioned, if this passes, what is Greg's next step? He's just going to go ahead and assume that we accept his report then, and he hires them anyway. So we're sort of in.
Yeah.
Good question. Councilor Tucker?
So does our insurance company come and take a look and approve that it's up to satisfaction? Because I do believe and it's not in the reports about installation protective bollards. Where tank protection above ground, above ground tanks must be protected from vehicle collisions. Posts known as bollards provide one option, spaced at 54 inches apart, buried not less than 36 inches below grade. So it doesn't refer, it doesn't give any specifications of what installation or requirements.
My understanding from the report is that Greg is going to be doing that. That I don't think Parison Fuels is going to do the installation, are they? They're
no,
just, they're dropping the tanks up.
He's
actually they're picking up
the
tanks.
He's picking
the
tank
right.
up.
So the next step would be for Greg to follow what you're suggesting there, that he follows the rules and knows what has to be done, because it doesn't sound like an outside company is going to be doing this. We asked about installation at the last meeting, and he didn't have clear answers, so it looks like he's doing it all. So we'd have to impress on him. That wouldn't affect this resolution. That's just getting them, actually not even to the yard, because as you say, the township's picking them up. Mm. But then the next step, when he actually installs, we'd have to make sure that's done properly.
Well, I note that Greg actually says that the only installation cost is Blitz Electric. And then a couple of sentences down, he says, with the size of the tanks being under 1,000 gallons, no new base will need to be created. The tanks will be sitting directly on the asphalt and no need for additional spill containment equipment.
Yeah, that concerned me too, but
yeah.
Councilor Zula.
Well, the Parison Fuels, they won't fill it if it's not up to specs.
Okay, that's good to know.
They won't fill it if it's not up to specs. It's like they won't fill your oil tank in your house if it's not up to specs.
Mm.
Stamped and dated and stuff.
So they're the final inspection, or how does that work?
I believe so. That they would, it has to, they won't, like I say, they won't fill it unless it's done. And then I think you have to have something from them to give to your insurance company to say that it meets the requirements. So.
So the question is, does Greg know all of these steps?
I'm
not sure.
So.
He's not here. So.
I imagine so.
Yeah.
He must have dealt with this in the past, right? How long has he been with this? I don't know.
Yeah, the only suggestion was it wouldn't have been a problem maybe if it was going to be the same location, sort of thing. But since he's moving them, there might be a number of things he has to consider.
New location, new company delivering the
right.
fuel.
Well, he'll find out in a hurry if it doesn't meet the requirements.
As I said, I don't think it will affect this particular resolution to actually purchase some tanks. And out of the quotes we've received, this is what he's recommending. So we'll certainly have to follow up on that.
I hear you saying it's not being, or it is being moved, but it says no new base will need to be created.
Right.
Does that imply that we would move the existing base then in that situation?
No, there'll be no base. He's just putting it on the asphalt surface, he says. So. To me, the way I understood it, he was moving over towards the salt shed.
Yeah.
And putting them over that way, because he talked about the same location over by the building, but then we talked about the addition. That's a possibility. And then he said, well, that's right. You can't leave them there if you're going to put an addition on. So he wanted to move them.
Mm-hmm. It may have something to do with how many liters or whatever that it takes, because I know on a farm you can have tanks and they sit right on the ground.
Right.
You don't have to have a base.
Well, he kind of says that because the tank's being under 1,000 gallons,
yeah.
right? So
yeah, that's probably what it is.
And
then for the quotes for the fuel prices, I'm wondering, didn't McDougal Energy, our current provider, submit a
I think
quote?
He talked to them. I don't know if it's on there or not.
Well, it says that they were the lowest in here, doesn't it, Mike?
But
say in here somewhere
not,
that they...
they're not on the list here.
He did reach out to McDougal Energy for a quotation, and they did not provide one.
Okay.
Good to know. Okay, sounds like we're okay, and then we'll take it from here. Which direction? From Councillor Ryan.
Actually, I'm just noticing on the back, under the conclusion, he says, Parison, the installation costs are within the current operating budget, to go to your point earlier. So,
right. Yeah, we tend to hear that. It's always in the budget.
Yeah, well. I'm just saying, he said it. So
right.
In writing.
Yeah. Okay, any further comments on this? Call the question then, all those in favor? It's not opposed, carried. Stevens tender opening, resolution 23-689, moved by Councillor Kekkonen, second by Councillor Zulak. Be it resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of Teller has hereby received report number admin-2023-19 St. Stephen's Church renovation tender results for information and award RFP number PW-2023-15 St. Stephen's Church renovations to Northern View Construction in the amount of $70,156 plus HST of $9,120.28, a total amount of $79,276.28. And further, that a 10% contingency be added to the contract for any unforeseen structural repairs when removing the chimney, as recommended by the chief building official. Discussion? Councilor Ryan?
I heard you say the report number was 2023-well, it actually says 19, when yet the report is actually 17, right, when you look at the actual report. So I'm just saying we need to amend that.
Good point. Reading what I have in front of me.
What? No, and
good, you caught that.
I usually just do a very quick check to make sure it's the same. So.
Okay. I don't know whether we have the CEO here, or did he leave? Oh, well, he can't speak to him. He knew when to get out. Yeah. Oh, okay. Any other comments on this one, Councilor Keck?
So, maybe we can have the treasurer go over some of these numbers. It looks like it's costing us to not install new siding, but to refurbish the existing siding and replace boards as needed and the bottom ledger boards. So the cost of doing Hemlock Church, replacing with all new siding, was $49,000, and it's costing $44,000 just to repaint, refurbish the existing siding. So I think what we need to do as well is to take a look at the budget, because it seems to indicate that I don't know if the total amount of the contract that we awarded for Hemlock Church totaled $71,383. So when you look at the total cost of all of the St. Stephen's contracts, the first one, the lifting and foundation, which was, let's see, $169,500. It's talking about $100,000 left over. Well, hasn't $79,000 of that been consumed for the Hemlock Church work?
So, Hemlock Church has a budget of $65,000. And out of that, so far we paid almost $5,000. Total amount for the windows is $10,000, so we paid the $50,000, 50% of $10,000, $5,000, so remaining $60,000 for Hemlock.
So we still owe
$50,000.
What's in the budget?
Left in budget.
But so the total cost of that was $71,383.23. And we budgeted $65,000 for that. So we're short on the amount that we budgeted for Hemlock.
Yeah.
And so then the total amount that we need to, and the $65,000.
So the $65,000 we budgeted, so if you take out the windows, roughly around $10,000, then the remaining amount would be $55,000. And for this project, we needed